What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Toma Todito Boxing Show, your favorite boxing recap, preview, and podcast, boxing show overall. I hope you've been enjoying the content. We have officially broken 200 episodes. While most shows last a handful of episodes, some are in the 300s, and of course, the more notorious with big networks and big backings behind them, of course, they're already in the thousands or maybe hundreds, getting close to 1,000 episodes or shows. This isn't the case. And so I was gone for a few days, but we are getting back, and we got plenty of episodes coming your way. And this one today, we're going to focus on Jojo Diaz versus Jesus Perez, which took place just a few days back. And I think it's very important that we break down the career of Jojo Diaz and where he happens to be at the moment. And I think you'll find it somewhat interesting, in case you haven't been paying attention too much to Jojo Diaz. So again, this is episode 201. We are officially breaking 200 episodes, and it's a hell of a feat, because I initially wanted to get to 50 episodes, and when I got to 50, I pushed for another 50, and I'm like, all right, we're getting the hang of it. And it's been a long journey of trying to find my niche, my voice, my style, I guess, my swag within this this podcast industry, what have you, or journey, I should say, because it's definitely been more of a journey, more of a venture, and well, here we are. So thanks to you, the show continues to grow, and we're gonna keep going, and from here we're gonna push to 300. Let's do it. No more 50s. Let's go for another hundy. And with that said, let's get started with today's episode. Just in case you missed the fight, we're going to cover it and cover the fight here. So in case you want to pause the episode and you want to go watch the fight and then come back, you could do that. If not, we're going to get as detailed as possible. And you know how I do here. We're going to get as detailed as possible and talk about Jojo Diaz and where he finds himself in his career. And also Jesus Perez and how meaningful this fight was for Ricky Perez. His nickname is Ricky Perez, but his name is Jesus Antonio Perez Campos, and they know him as Ricky Perez. So let's jump into it, because there's a lot to take away from this fight. Jojo Diaz is now at an odd stage in his career, and possibly at the end of his career. This is a USA boxer, USA national team, with great amateur pedigree, Olympic boxer, who turned pro in 2012. Jojo Diaz is just over 30 years old. I believe he's 31 at the moment. But he is a veteran of the sport. Not just his amateur days, but professionally. He turned pro in 2012. This is his 12th year of his career professionally. Whereas Jesus Perez, who is considered more of a journeyman because of the route that he's taken, he's only been a pro. This is going to be the 8th year of his professional career. So Jojo Diaz is definitely the veteran between the two. Jesus Perez, Ricky Perez, has been chosen more of as a stay busy or as a stay busy opponent or a test type of opponent for prospects, for contenders, for up and comers, for big names or big names to be. I had a chance to see Jesus Perez in San Diego when he fought Alexis Rocha on the undercard of Jojo Diaz and William Cepeda. This was a year ago. And this is a fighter that ended up catching everybody's attention, because on the early portion of the fight, I recall that Alexis Rocha was getting the best of him, picking him apart, outpointing him, outlanding him, hitting him with some really heavy shots. This is a welterweight fight. Keep that in mind, between Rocha and Perez. And by the third, fourth round, I recall that getting the feeling that Rocha's gonna stop this guy fairly soon. And that wasn't the case. The heavy-handed, in-your-face, come-forward style of Jesús Pérez, durable Jesús Pérez, started landing big leather on Rocha, walking him back, hurting him, and ended up making it all 10 rounds and a scrappy 10-round fight at that. From around the mid portion of the fight on to the end. At times, he hurt Rocha and had Rocha against the ropes on his back foot. And it seemed like Jesús Pérez potentially was getting the momentum and had momentum in his side as well several times during the fight. And it caught everybody's attention as to where did this guy come from? Because this was supposed to be a stay busy, active fight for Alexis Rocha. He ends up getting the decision, and I remember that although there was a heavily favoring crowd for Rocha in the sports arena there in San Diego, a lot of cheers, but there were also some boos when the decision was rendered because people thought that Pérez had done enough to get himself back into the fight, dominate the fight, and people felt that he was deserving of the decision win. The decision went to Rocha. And Jesús Pérez moved on. We didn't hear of Jesús Pérez in any major or large events until this one against Jojo Díaz. So when Jojo Díaz gets into this fight, it's almost a similar scenario as where Ryan Garcia found himself in his last fight against Oscar Duarte, who was going to be heavily tested, heavily contested, and was bound to fight himself in a crossroads type of fight where he needed to answer some demons and overcome this tough task to show the world where they happen to be in their careers. Ryan Garcia, stopping Oscar Duarte, answered the call and answered the questions. As sloppy as it may have been at times, he pulled it together when he needed to and came away with the stoppage. Jojo Díaz, if you recall last year and even late 22, he's been calling for a fight with Ryan Garcia, willing to move up to 140. But it's been no secret that Jojo Díaz has been struggling a lot. Jojo Díaz has been very public when stating that he struggled with, on the personal end of things, struggled with vices, alcohol. Weight issues are very, very common, but known. This is something known that has been plaguing Jojo Díaz's career for years. Hence, two titles were affected in Jojo Díaz's career because of his weight issues. Twice, this has plagued him when it had to do with titles. So we look at Jojo Díaz's career. Just in his last few fights, and he has 4 losses in 5 fights. Just think about that. The first loss of his career was when he challenged Gary Russell Jr. in 2018 at 126 pounds for his WBC title. He lost a unanimous decision against Gary Russell, and that was a 12-round championship fight. Jojo Díaz debuted at 122, had a successful career at 122, moved up to 126. Most of his stoppages, and if you look at his record, as it sits, 33 wins, 5 losses, 1 draw, 15 knockouts. The majority of his stoppage wins were at 122 and 126 pounds. By the time he got to 126, there was a lot less stoppage wins. When he campaigned at 130, he only has one. And that was against Freddy Fonseca in 2019. Unsuccessful in lifting the title from Gary Russell, the WBC belt from Gary Russell. And of course, Gary Russell is a masterful boxer. Was, we don't know. Is he still active? I don't know. He's supposed to be campaigning at 140, supposedly at 130, then 135, then 140. He's been calling out Tank for years. That fight's never going to happen. But we last saw him drop his title at the hands of Mark Maxayo, and that was back in 2022, and we haven't seen any more of him since. So Jojo Diaz gets the short end of the stick against Gary Russell when he challenges for the WBC title at 126 in 2018. A few months later, he gets the call that he's going to be able to challenge then champion, WBA champion at 126, Jesus Rojas, for his WBA belt. And Jojo Diaz is overweight. This causes Diaz to not be eligible. It eliminated his chances of winning the title that night. And Rojas automatically kept this title, even though Jojo Diaz beats him in a unanimous decision 12-round fight. The scorecards for that fight were favorable to Jojo Diaz. He had a good fight, and he should have been champion. But the weight issues presented themselves. And it wouldn't be the end of it. Second chance at a world title. This time, his doing by weight of weight issues. He ends up moving up to 130 pounds. Like I said, his last stoppage was against Freddy Fonseca in 2019. And he then gets into that notorious fight against Tevin Farmer, which was a hell of a fight. And if you never saw that fight, go back and watch that. That was an awesome showing by both fighters, where there was a lot of speed, a lot of accuracy, pinpoint accuracy at that. And it was entertaining. Super entertaining fight. A fight where these two should have met each other. There should have been a rematch. Jojo Diaz gets the unanimous decision win over Tevin Farmer and wins the IBF title. Finally, world champ. IBF champ of 130 pounds. In his very next fight, he loses a title on the scales against mandatory Shavkat Rakhimov, who was undefeated going into that fight. A big prospect, big contender, as blue chip as you could get. Hell of a fighter, hell of a puncher, and gave Jojo Diaz a hell of a fight. A controversial draw is rendered between Diaz and Rakhimov, where Diaz gets cut on the left eye due to an accidental headbutt down the final stretch of the fight. A fight where many saw Rakhimov winning. A fight where many felt that Diaz got a gift with that draw decision, majority decision draw. And it all came down to one point. Two judges had it 114 apiece. One judge had it 115-113. And that one round gave it to, in favor of Diaz, ended up going a majority draw. The two 114 apiece judges. Diaz came in at 133 and a half, where Rakhimov made weight. The title was on the line for him unable to be crowned champion because of the draw. Diaz abandons the division, moves up to 135, and gets into a fight against Javier Fortuna, who was supposed to be the boogeyman at that time of 130 and 135 pounds. One of the best performances, one of the last best performances of Jojo Diaz's career. One of the most complete performances of his career against Javier Fortuna. And that was for the WBC interim lightweight title. The winner would get a chance to go against Devin Haney. An amazing performance by Jojo Diaz. A hell of a back and forth. And Jojo Diaz gets the nod against Javier Fortuna. And was crowned the interim WBC champ of 135 pounds. He goes on to challenge Devin Haney to unify the lightweight title, the WBC lightweight title, and gets picked apart and outpointed by Devin Haney. He then goes on to fight Camarón Cepeda, the fight that I just mentioned where I first saw Jesús Pérez as he fought Alexis Rocha on the undercard as a co-main. William Cepeda dismantled Jojo Diaz. Then he goes on to fight Mercito Gesta. A fight where Jojo Diaz should have outsmarted Mercito Gesta and outboxed him. And instead, he gets bested by Mercito Gesta. Nearly every round. In a 10-round fight, Mercito Gesta got the split decision. Where one judge had it for Diaz, and the other two had landslides for Gesta. Three losses in a row. All of them performances where Jojo Diaz was outpointed, outpunched, outworked, bested in just about every category. Where he has flashes of greatness, but not enough. Last July, he goes on to fight relatively unknown fighter Jerry Perez out in San Antonio. This was somewhat of a catchweight fight, junior welter, super lightweight, where Jojo Diaz came in at 141.5, Jerry Perez at 138.5. And I want to point this out because before that, with Mercito Gesta, Diaz came in at 139.5, Gesta 137.25. With William Cepeda, he came in at 137.5, and Cepeda at 137 flat. Catchweights. What division is he going for, 135 or 140? Undecided, undetermined. With Haney, he met the weight, 134.25. Haney came in at 135 flat. And with Javier Fortuna, same thing. 134.25, he gave weight to those two meaningful fights after the debacle with Shavkat. Remember, it was Rakhimov, weight issues, loses a title on the scales. Then Javier Fortuna, back on track, makes weight, becomes the interim champ. Devin Haney gets outpointed in the WBC unification title fight. But it's fine, because this Devin Haney's no joke. Look at what he's become now. On weight, on track, showed up. And if you remember that fight towards the end, he was trying to land that heavy hand on Haney, trying to shake him just like Jorge Linares had and hoping for the knockout down the stretch. Exciting final round, exciting ending to that fight where you see De La Hoya cheering in the background, jumping up and down as Jojo Diaz looked like he was going to land that heavy hand and drop Devin Haney. And he just ran out of time. Exciting ending to that fight. But since then, it hasn't been the same Jojo Diaz. And now, in a fight in which many saw Jojo Diaz win, a fight where he comes in at 137 and a half and Jerry Perez at 138 and a fourth. And I wanted you to remember, I put an asterisk on the weight when I mentioned that he fought, that I witnessed him fighting Alexis Rocha, because Rocha campaigns at welterweight. Jerry Perez has been campaigning the majority of his career between welterweight and junior welterweight. They showed images of him prior to the fight as he was preparing for the fight and embarking on the weight cut. And he was 205 pounds at one point and got all the way down to 138 for this fight. The story of Jesus Perez, Ricky Perez, is an admirable one, where he discloses that as a bricklayer and a construction worker, he cannot dedicate his time fully to boxing. So he's a part-time boxer, full-time employee, full-time worker, laborer. And this is the first fight where he was able to dedicate himself to weight cutting, to training, to sparring, to preparing for this match. And he was driven to pull a shock win against Jojo Diaz. And he said, if I'm able to prepare like this and I'm able to fully focus on boxing, I can do some stuff in boxing. But he had never had that opportunity. Smaller purses, smaller cards, smaller events. Yet, he's been able to amass a good record. With this victory over Jojo Diaz, he now sits at 25-5, 18 knockouts to his credit. The Tijuana native has losses to Ruslan Mariev back in 2018, Carlos Diaz, also 2018, Danielito Zorrilla, who gave a hell of a run and many thought he beat Regis Progre in Progre's fight prior to Devin Haney. He then lost to Alexis Rocha, the fight that I mentioned to you guys earlier. And after that, he fought Brian Norman Jr. in an 8-round fight, lost by unanimous decision there. Never been stopped. All decision losses. And those back-to-back losses to Norman and Alexis Rocha were at the welterweight division. A fighter who is a heavier-handed fighter and durable at that. Big body, big muscles, heavy hands, with a lot of energy, throws a lot of punches. And even though they were at similar weights, Jojo Diaz's power has not transitioned from where he started. He started at 122 pounds. The last stoppage win in his record is when he was at 130 pounds campaigning. He only had one stoppage at 130 pounds. And that's it. Now he's been fighting. He continued fighting at 130, became champ there, then interim champ at 135. Then he's been fighting in these catch weight type fights between 135 and 140. And his power is not there against these bigger bodies. His power has not transitioned. Nonetheless, going into this fight, we had an issue of not speed on behalf of Jojo Diaz, but rather accuracy, efficiency, and timing on behalf of Jojo Diaz against a heavy-handed, durable, stronger fighter in Jesus Perez. What ensued was a great back and forth between these two fighters, where there was a lot of punches thrown. And just to give you an idea, Diaz, like I said, the matchup was strength, durability versus timing, accuracy, efficiency. And that's exactly how the stats played out. And that's exactly when the fight was said and done, what the stats displayed. 804 punches thrown by Jesus Perez and he successfully landed 17% of his punches, 137 overall. Jojo Diaz threw 471 punches and landed 188. He landed at a 39.9, nearly 40% of his punches were successful, to a 17% by Jesus Perez. Yet the judges gave it to Jesus Perez. I don't know if you deem this a robbery. I don't know what it is that the judges, or how the judges got it wrong. I could see the confusion there because Perez threw a lot. I just gave you the numbers, 804. He was throwing from every angle and in combinations, 3, 4, 5, 6 punches at a time. And in many occasions, all 6 punches were missing or being blocked. But it's easy to understand how a judge could be swayed by the amount of action that one fighter is giving. Yet, Jojo Diaz was not on his back foot. Jojo Diaz was not on his bicycle. Jojo Diaz was in the center, in front, both fighters in front of each other throughout the entire fight, exchanging leather. Except Perez would throw 4, 5, 6 punches at a time. And Jojo Diaz would counter 2 or 3 punches, sometimes just a single punch, but land it and land it clean. Flush, whether it be an uppercut or a hook or a follow-up or an offbeat punch, catching Perez on the reset. Jojo Diaz outlanded. Perez. In an efficient, accurate display of boxing by Jojo Diaz, where he found himself in trouble at times because, yes, Perez hits hard, and you could see that he was damaging Diaz. But Jojo answered the call, answered the bell each time out. In the end, I had it 96-93 for Jojo Diaz. Round 5, which was a controversial round where there was a point deducted by Diaz, an emotional Diaz, as they find themselves breaking from a clinch, pushes Perez, maybe harder than he thought, where he sends Perez onto the ropes and the bottom rope catching Perez from exiting the ring, and the referee breaks him up and proceeds by deducting a point from Jojo Diaz. While most apparently, the judges, and while most observants judge this as a 10-9 round for Perez, Jojo Diaz was winning that round, and I scored it as such. I had Jojo Diaz winning that round, minus the point. I gave him a 9-9 score for that round 5, where everybody automatically gave the round to Perez, even though he wasn't winning that round. The scores ended up 96-94 for Perez, 95-94 for Diaz. I had a 96-93. That's how you know that they scored that 10-9. And then you had Lou Moret, who gave Jesus Perez a 99-90 scorecard. And the only thing you could walk away from that score well, you could have many conclusions. And the obvious one is corrupt, followed up by maybe the claim of he robbed Jojo Diaz. But if we're going to be practical and we want to be optimist, what guides me towards thinking that he would score a fight 99-90 is that he was impressed that the output of Jesus Perez, of Ricky Perez, impressed Lumaret, or left an impression as the more active and the fighter that took the fight to the other, the aggressor. He didn't care about CompuBox stats, or he wasn't analyzing punches that were actually landing, but rather just output. And judging by output, when you have 804 punches to 471 in a 10-round span, it's easy for your eye to be swayed, to be impressed. And I have to think that that's what Lou Moret saw. The output of Jesus Perez is what he was giving the rounds to, and he didn't give anything to... I mean, that's a 9-round... That's a 9-round victory for Jesus Perez on Lou Moret's scorecard, which... Jojo Diaz never had a chance to win. He gave Jojo Diaz none. I'm trying to look at his scorecard and see what he, how he scored it, Lou Moret. I mean, it's a landslide. Jojo Diaz didn't stand a chance against Lou Moret, based on his boxing versus the aggressor. This wasn't Jermaine Ortiz versus Teofimo. This was two boxers that stood in front of each other and won. This is almost like a B-level version of a Marcos Maldana-Floyd Mayweather fight, where Maldana would throw everything at Mayweather, punches and bunches, and Mayweather would find a way to be accurate and effective with Maldana landing the more efficient punches. Sad story for Jojo Diaz, because now he gets another loss. The fifth of his career. Nothing to be ashamed of, as he's got five losses to good fighters. Gary Russell Jr., Devin Haney, Camarón Cepeda, Mercito Gesta, and now a Jesus Perez, who, yes, he is a journeyman, but he may very well be a spoiler. He's going to give someone a tough fight and will catch anybody on any given day should they not show up fully prepared for a full scrap. Jesus Perez is that good. At least that consistent. And that scrappy. That he will give anybody hard work. Alexis Rocha knows firsthand. And now Jojo Diaz found out. And was on the downside of the scorecard. Sad to say, but I think Jojo Diaz's days are coming to an end. Entering the 12th year of his professional career, standout U.S. national team boxer, Olympic boxer, two-time champ as a pro. This was a fight where he needed to send a statement and show everybody where he's at in his career. But sadly to say, his last best performance was against Javier Fortuna. And that's five fights ago. He had one draw, one defeat going into the Javier Fortuna fight. What do I see for Jojo Diaz? I don't even think he's a gatekeeper at this moment. I think he's at the point where he needs to be serious with himself and decide whether he's going to continue on this trajectory, because everything pointed that he had a great camp, a great training, great sparring, great preparation, diet on point for this fight, mentally, emotionally, physically, in his best state. These are words as expressed by Jojo Diaz. But unfortunately, I just don't think, and the body of work backs up my claim that his power has not transitioned in the higher weight divisions that he's campaigning in. His power stayed at 126 pounds. 122, 126, he possessed good pop. 130, very good. One stoppage at 130, but he was still sending the message and able to send opponents, or at least hold them in their tracks when lunging forward. At 135, they're not respecting his power as much, let alone in these catch weights where he's found himself in the last few fights between 135, 140. His accuracy, his timing seems to be bailing him out. His boxing, boxistically, he's still a very good boxer. But his punches are not stopping the opponents. They're not respecting the power. They're walking in on him. And even though he was hurting Ricky Perez, and very evident that he was taking the legs from Ricky Perez, if you watch the fight down the final stretch, at least in the last three rounds or so, you could see Ricky Perez was starting to get hurt by Jojo Diaz's punches. And it was also a combination of stamina. He carries a lot of muscle and he throws a lot of punches. So it was a combination of stamina and Jojo Diaz's accuracy, where he was landing on the button time and again, that was starting to stumble Ricky Perez from time to time whenever they would exchange. Congratulations to Jesus Perez, to Ricky Perez, because now that he's fully focused, this fight will definitely get him into another decent name, another decent showing, maybe several, where he will be able to garner some decent paydays. Great showing against Alexis Rocha, and now he gets a victory over a veteran and a big name in Jojo Diaz. For Jojo Diaz, I'm a big fan. I hope to see him again. I just don't know where his career goes from here. Unfortunately, he's going to be finding himself in the last stages of his career, maybe a few more fights, and that's it. He's gonna be hanging him up, in my opinion, fairly soon. If and when I get to the interview stages of this podcast, I would love to have him on, and I would love to have a conversation with him, and hopefully is before he hangs up the gloves, just to find out where he's at mentally, how he's assessing his career versus how we're seeing it on the fan point of view, from the fan's perspective. Stellar career to date, overall, both amateur, professional, but one of those that I feel that could have reached even higher levels if it wasn't for those weight issues that he encountered. One of these careers where I feel that he would have been at the echelon of any of these divisions. Yes, he ran into Gary Russell Jr. and fell short on that decision, But then what about when he fought Jesus Rojas and had the weight issues and couldn't win the fight, won the fight, but couldn't win the title because of that? And then the Rakhimov, a rematch that would have been a huge payday against Tevin Farmer. That never happened. I think his crossroads fight was against Camarón Cepeda. And Camarón Cepeda outshined him. Just out everything. To where Camarón Cepeda's, William Cepeda's career is shooting, skyrocketing upwards. And that's where Jojo Diaz, the wake-up call of Jojo Diaz, where we saw that Jojo Diaz may very well be hitting the later stages of his career, followed by the Mercito Gesta decision loss, and now this. I think his last great performance was against Javier Fortuna, and if you have a chance and you're a fan of Jojo Diaz, go back and watch that fight, because what a hell of a performance that was by both men. But what a hell of a performance, an exciting performance at that, that Jojo Diaz put on that night. And well, I'll leave you guys with that. A fight where I feel that Jojo Diaz did enough to deserve that decision. Nonetheless, the loss affects him heavily at this stage, where I feel the win would have favored him heavily at the stage where he finds himself. I had it for him. One judge had it for him, but it just wasn't enough. And not enough pop there to stop a tough Jesus Perez. We'll see who they match him up against. But unfortunately, I think we're starting to see the end of Jojo Diaz. So I'll leave you guys with that. Don't forget that whenever you see me post on Instagram, which is where I guide the podcast off of, leave me a comment. That's where we communicate. Communicate with me. Leave me a comment. Ask me a question, and I'll shoot back. If anything, ask me a question, and I may very well respond to it on a reel and do an in-person answer. If not, whenever there's a big fight, reach me on X. Just because I'm not recording or actively behind the mic doesn't mean that I'm not paying attention to what's going on within the boxing world. So, plenty more episodes coming your way. Thank you guys for all the love. Have yourselves a great night, and I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Have a good one.